Well, of course I was hurt.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Victory Life Ministries welcomes you to our weekly broadcast, The Abundant Life, with teachers Al and Angie Burke. We are committed to emphasizing God's goodness and grace, as well as sharing biblical truths that will help you live a life of victory and peace. God's plan for you is to live above your circumstances, not beneath them. Understanding who you are in Christ, what you have in Him, and how to use what has been given to you will help you to overcome any trial you may be facing. Jesus' death on the cross was not in vain. He made a way for you to experience the abundant life He planned for you all along. Now, here's Al and Angie. Hi. Welcome to today's broadcast of The Abundant Life. This is Angie Burke, and my husband is here, Al. And today we're really excited because we're going to be sharing a personal testimony of what God did for Al and me about 6 years ago when he had an accident. And I'm going to have him tell you about it in a minute. And we also might not even finish it today because it's quite long, but we will finish it up next week, we promise you. But I want to start, Al, with 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the New Living Translation, I like what it says. It simply says, we live by believing and not by seeing. And you know, Al, I think of that scripture, doubting Thomas. Remember Thomas? He needed to see the holes in the hands of Jesus before he actually believed he rose from the dead. In fact, his wording was this, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I mean, he was adamant. He was like predetermined in his thinking that the only way I'm going to believe that this is Jesus is if I see those nail prints. And you know, Jesus is so awesome. Here's what he says, and it's for all of us. He says, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. And you know, I want to tell you, you don't know much about us yet, but Al and I, we live our lives this way. And if what we see with our natural eyes is in contrast to what the Word of God says, then we choose to believe the Word. Al and I elevate God's Word above any physical symptom we may be having, anything we may be experiencing, any trial we may be facing. And we also take our authority over all the situations that do not line up with the Word of God. We have a right to abundant life, a life full of meaning and purpose. And I always like to talk about Mark 11:23 because it says, speak to the mountains in our lives, believing, and it will come to pass.
Right? Yeah, I think sometimes people are just praying, asking for things that they've already got the authority to speak it. According to the scripture, we have the right to speak what we want and speak the answer. According to Mark 11:23, he says, you speak to the mountain and it'll move. A lot of people, I heard him pray to God that God will move the mountain. God said, no. I've already given you that authority. You speak to the mountain. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. When he said it was finished, everything for you was purchased at that moment. All your health, all your healing, all your prosperity, all your joy, all your family relationships, all of your success in life, everything was pre-purchased at that moment. You have it now, but you have it in your spirit realm.
Right.
You don't necessarily have it in the physical or in the soul yet, but you have it now in the spirit realm. And you have to, what we teach is learning how to get it out of the spirit into your soul and into your body. You know, I had a friend of mine who, when he got older, he became blind. And he got in a, he got, actually, I think he had a heart attack. I don't remember what happened to him, but he died. And when he died, he said he went to heaven and instantly he got his eyesight back and he could see. And he, it didn't take long. The paramedics came and they revived him. And he said, when I came back and went back into my body, I was blind again. Wow. So he had that in the spirit realm. He had all of the eyesight and the healing.
Yes.
If he could have learned to get it into his physical body or into his eyes, he would have been able to see in the here and the now. And this is what we're trying to teach, some of the ways that you can do this.
Right.
Help
and
yourself.
And that spirit man is given to you. Your old nature is replaced with the new nature, the nature of Christ. That's what Al's talking about when he's talking about the spirit man. If you belong to Christ and you've been born again, then that spirit has the fullness of Jesus inside. Your old nature is gone, okay? But of course, we have a soul that might fight against that spirit at times or be in line with it either way. But Al and I, we do not put up with sickness. We do not put up with any possible disease or poverty or depression or fear or worry or anxiety. And I'm telling you, you don't have to either. We were not meant to carry these burdens and sicknesses on us. Jesus never meant that. He died to give us the total opposite of these things. And it's by faith that we release these good things into our lives. Let me show you this. We use faith. We believe God's word no matter what we see. We walk by faith, not by sight. That faith releases the grace of God into the situation you find yourself in. And that's where the healing will flow, when your mind comes into agreement with what God's word already says about the situation. And God is all good and all positive, and he's the healer, and we should be tapping into and living the way he designed us to live. So now, to make this easier, I'm going to interview Al here and ask him a couple of questions, and he's going to answer, and you'll get the gist of the story. So Al, just tell us first, what happened to you? This was about 6 years ago. What happened to you,
right.
And what was your first reaction?
All right. Well, I was standing on a ladder, and I was cleaning an air conditioning duct, and there was like a voice went off in my head that says, you need to get down now. And I said, oh, don't worry, Lord, I'll be down in a minute. Well, with that, I fell off the ladder instantly, and I fell on my left side and fell on my hip on a concrete floor, hard tile on concrete. And when I fell and I hit that, actually my leg bone, the upper leg, pushed and smashed through the pelvis and just fractured the pelvis.
Ouch.
All over the place. And it was pain beyond anything you'd ever really want to know.
Wow.
But you know, I had worked into my life my response, and this is on my mind all the time. I don't wait till something happens to go try to find a scripture for it.
That's
and
right.
Let's look at the Bible and maybe somebody can pray. I instantly go into action. And this is something you're going to need to practice in life, because it won't happen if you haven't pre-programmed it into your thinking. So when I hit the floor, I was screaming, I am healed.
Amen.
I am healed. I am healed. I didn't do the normal response of, oh, help me, I'm hurt, please, somebody help me, I'm hurt. Well, of course I was hurt.
Right.
But that was not my reaction. It was a built-in reaction. I'm screaming, I am healed, I am healed. And I was changing the outcome of this circumstance immediately from the first second. I wasn't going to just lay down and accept this. So I was screaming so hard, I woke my son up.
Yep.
And even God can't wake him up.
That's right. I was surprised he woke up.
And he came over and he said, what happened? I said, well, I fell and something's broken. I don't know. Call mom.
Okay, so I was at a Bible study at a local coffee shop, and I actually called home before Brian got to call me, and just telling Al I'm going to do some Christmas shopping, and it was right after Thanksgiving this happened, and Brian told me, my son told me, Dad fell off a ladder. So I said, well, let me talk to him, because usually when stuff like this happens, he gets right up and just goes on his way. And I said, Al, what happened? And I remember you said, you know, I fell off a ladder. And then I asked you, well, are you all right? And you never said a word. He never said anything. So I knew something was wrong. So I hung up the phone and I immediately got the girls together at the coffee shop and we prayed and we took authority over this situation. At the onset, we do not put up with anything, like I said, and we were not going to let the devil or give the devil an opening to get into the situation to prolong something that could be really short. And I didn't know what was ahead of me at the time. It didn't matter. We just took our authority over the enemy and his tactics and his lies and all fear and worry. And we thanked God for his angels being already with Al. And we just left it like that. And then I went home. And to my surprise, when I got there, I opened up the door and he was just lying flat on the kitchen floor. And I immediately, once again, I got down. He showed me where the pain was. I put my hand on his leg and I took authority over that pain, over the leg, over whatever it was. I wasn't sure what had happened, but I was doing what God told me to do. And that was already in me. I knew what to do when these things happened. So we took authority, commanded him to get up and walk, and he could not. So we knew at that point that we had to call 911. But what I want to say one thing, Al, is I don't know if you remember this, but two weeks before the accident, I was walking around the property and the Lord speaks to me and he said, "Be still and know that I am God." And you know, when you get that command, "Be still and know that I am God," the first thing you want to say is, "Well, why?" You know, like, what's going to happen? And but he kept saying it. And, you know, day after day, the Lord would say this as I was doing my prayer time, "Just be still and know that I am God." And I thought, wow, the more he said it, the more peaceful I became, the more joyful I became. I had no idea what he meant or what he was talking about. I just knew I was going to be still and know that he was God. So when I looked at Al on the floor, that's when the Lord spoke to me again, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, church, he prepares you. Whether you realize it or not, he prepared. You don't have to know everything that's going to happen. He knows. And he prepares you to just be strong and know what to do when the situation comes, you know? So Al, so after that, I found you on the floor. Okay, I called 911. We're waiting for 911. God is still speaking to me, still saying, "Be still and know." And you were in so much pain. Now, when the paramedics came, they could barely even get you on that gurney.
Yeah, it was really painful. It was beyond belief. I would never want to go through something like that again. The pain was beyond anything you can imagine. So eventually they got me picked up and they took me to the hospital. And when they brought me in, they put me on one of those tables. And the first thing they try to do is take x-rays.
Yeah, but remember the spasms? Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Yeah, my whole leg would just fly. It would go into a spasm. And that even lasted like a week or two, I think. A total before they went away, or at least yeah. 3-4 days before they went away.
But at the initial onset, Al, you were like, we were in the emergency room at that point, and you were like flying off the bed. I mean, they came out of nowhere.
The whole thing would just go in a spasm instant, yeah.
And your whole body would jump off of that, yeah. And it was so heartbreaking to see him like that, you know? But anyway, so...
So they tried to take x-rays, and they put me on this little thing, or tried to, and I was screaming in so much pain, they really didn't know what to do with me, so they just brought me back and put me in the bed and just left me there and figured out what was going to happen. And at that point, I said to my wife, I said, "Well, what's tonight? What's today?" She said, "It's Monday." And I said, "Well, Monday is Bible study night." She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you call all those people that come to our Bible study and you tell them to come to the ER and we're going to have Bible study in the ER. The devil's not going to beat me on this one." You know, most people would call everybody in the Bible study and say, "Oh, he's in the hospital. We're not having a Bible study." And you know, the second I said, "We're having Bible study in the ER, the pain released from my leg at least enough that they could get an x-ray.
That's right. I remember that. That was so awesome. And we did actually, we'll get to it later, but we did actually have that Bible study. But after the x-rays, I remember the doctor walked in to give us the diagnosis. And I'll tell you, it was just like yesterday. I remember this so clearly. He said, "You have a shattered pelvis. We're going to have to do immediate emergency surgery. We're going to have to take all the little bits and pieces that are broken and tie them in some wire. You're going to need about 10 months of rehab and therapy, and you probably won't walk 100% for about a year or maybe even more, but you won't be able to walk perfectly until that time.
Yeah, if at all, actually, is what he said.
But or anyway, properly, right, properly. Yeah.
He told me the same thing. He said, we have to wrap your hip with wire. This is major, major surgery.
Yeah. So about 10 seconds passed, and I just said, I do not accept that. And he said, well, why don't you come look at the x-rays yourself? So he was kind at that point, and I was following him in to his office. And this is really important. I want to share this. As I was walking toward his office, I realized that no matter what I had taught on the subject, no matter how much I believed and how much I meditated on it over the years, I myself was faced with a personal choice of how I was going to react when I saw those x-rays. Was I going to cave like most people would, or was I going to stand on the word of God that my husband is healed? Which was I going to do? Was I going to walk by faith, or was I going to walk by sight, what I was looking at? So then I remembered a story, a testimony of a friend of mine whose husband, he had a massive stroke, and she stood for her husband at that hospital when he could not. And 1/3 of that man's brain was totally dead, the x-ray showed. And yet 10 days later, he walked out of that hospital without a sign of a problem. But if you would take an x-ray today, they would still be 1/3 of his brain dead. And that's the way it was all throughout his life. They kept taking x-rays. 1/3 of his brain was dead, but he was perfectly normal. This is God. So she stood for her husband, and I said, you know what? If she could do that, I could do that. And I was determined to walk by this faith. So I walked in. And I looked, and Al's pelvis or hip or whatever you want, it was all over the screen. And I said to the doctor, I said, I told you I don't accept that. In fact, I reject it in Jesus' name. And he didn't understand what I was talking about, but I knew what I was doing. Okay, listen, I was not denying what happened to Al. I was not denying what I was looking at. I was denying the power and influence it wanted to have on our lives. I was denying the devil what he thought he had power. I was denying anything that would happen as a result of this to stop our lives in any way. I was denying that, but I wasn't denying what had happened to him. So I said, I reject it. And here's the statement I made. I said, my God is my physician. Or our physician, I should say. And my God can and will heal my husband without surgery. That is what I wanted. That is what I expected. That's what came out of my mouth. That's what I confessed to be so. And he was so angry at me. He stood up, he pointed his finger at me, and he says, if your husband walks out of here, I'll become a believer. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And then Allie went into your room. What did you do?
I was just sitting in the bed at this point. I think the Bible study was over. I don't remember at that point.
No, we haven't had it yet.
No, okay. I was just laying there in the bed, and the curtain flew open, and the doctor walked in, and he says, your wife is delusional.
Yep, he
did.
And
I said, well, yeah, I agree with that. Delusional to the world's ways, but not delusional to God's ways.
That's right.
And I didn't say anything to him, though, and he just said, this is serious. This is no joke. He said, they're going to wrap your hip with wire. They're going to do all these things. And I just kind of smiled at him, and I never agreed with him. If I had agreed with him, the outcome of this would have been worse. I'm not saying he was wrong or bad. I'm just saying I'm going a whole nother way with this thing.
That's right. And I remember I stepped out, and I called a friend of mine who happens to be a prayer minister. We go to these conferences. So we go to Andrew Womack conferences, seminars, and we are prayer ministers. And I called her, and she told me something very good. She said, stay single-minded. And she meant single-minded on the word of God, not on what I was looking at. And, you know, I kept that through that whole thing. I stayed single-minded on the word of God. You know, church, when you have a problem and you have a trial and you want to stand on the word of God, there's going to be a lot of people that you should not talk to. Okay? I'm telling you right now. And there are others that you should talk to and can talk to. But do not talk with a person who's going to say, oh my gosh, you got to have surgery. This is terrible. We'll be right there. Poor Al. None of that. So I made sure I was very selective in who I told. Okay? And this girl helped me in that area. So then that night we had the Bible study, and it was about seven people.
Yeah.
And
they came.
That's right. And they all came. They were all around in the emergency room, and the curtain flies open once again. And the doctor was so angry, and he said, "What's going on in here?" And Al, in his very gracious, kind voice, very steady, very nice, said, "We'll be done in a minute, sir." And then he turned and looked at me and pointed that same finger at me again, and he said, "This is no joke. If your husband stands on his feet, he could be damaged for life." And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And
yeah, I think it. One of the things that I always do in every situation is I always maintain my peace. I just stay peaceful when things are going good and when things are going bad. You're not taking me off of this. I don't break down. I don't fall apart. I just maintain. See, we as Christians, we're supposed to be operating on what we know, not That's on right. what's happening. There's situations That's happening. Right. If it's bad, we operate in what we know. It doesn't matter. And I know I'm already healed. When he died on the cross and said it was finished, I already had my healing. I just need to get this thing manifest. And by the way, I never looked at those x-rays, or at least at that time, because I didn't want anything that would create unbelief. I didn't want to see that
That's
at
right.
all.
That's right.
And we had two friends that came to the Bible study. One was a nurse and one was a paramedic, and they went in to see the doctor. And they came out with this face, this long face, like, "It's over, oh God, oh no." And I didn't say anything to him, but I said, "You're not shaking my faith. You're not changing my mind. I'm already healed." That's and right. we were beginning to change the outcome of this situation. So anyway.
Absolutely.
Doctor came in and he said, "Now listen, you need this major surgery. And we don't even have anybody here at this hospital that could even do something like this. So we're shipping you to another hospital, a trauma hospital, where they have injuries and things like that." So I said, "Well, okay, let's go." And they got us an ambulance and put me on it and sent me to the next hospital. And in the ambulance, I just put my hand on my hip and I commanded it healed for 45 minutes out loud. I think there was a nurse in there. I didn't care. I just said, "I am healed. I am healed. My hip is healed. My hip is pain-free. I am healed. This is going to come out good. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk." And I just kept saying, "I am healed."
I remember, and you know, I was in the front of the paramedics, front of the ambulance, which I don't know, they just allowed me to go in the front there. And it was so funny because it was a young guy and he could not understand how these things could happen to these people. And he blamed God for everything. And Al, I never even told you this, Al, but I had the greatest time ministering to him on the way to that
awesome.
Hospital. It was like 40-minute ride. And I just told him that God did not do this.
No, God doesn't do those
absolutely
things.
Absolutely not.
You got to understand, anything, if it has anything to do with steal, killing, and destroying, it's not God. God's only the abundant life. How this got flicked around and how God gets blamed for these things is beyond me. You know, the devil is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
If you've, let me put it this way. God doesn't kill your kid, break your arm, or give you cancer to teach you something. That's
Amen.
What the devil does. And then he blames it on God and he's got the people all confused.
That's right.
I knew God didn't do this to me. I knew God was telling me to get off the ladder, and I just didn't listen. And this happened as a result of my foolishness, not anything. God was trying to help me.
Now, one thing I forgot to say before, like when I was walking to that doctor's office and I was reminded of this healing testimony I watched, this is what I want to tell you, church. You need to fill your mind and your heart with, you need to watch healing testimonies online or get them at your favorite ministry or whatever and hear them and listen to them over and over again because, you know, you're not going to have time, like Al said before, to go to a scripture if something happens that you're not prepared for. Okay, and I already had that testimony inside of me, and the Holy Spirit, the word says the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance everything you need to remember. You just put it in, and it is there, and this is why Al and I acted the way we did from the very get-go of this problem, because we already had it in us, because while we were well, we studied the word. While we were well, we heard other people's testimonies and it helped build our faith.
Yeah.
That's major.
Amen. You've got to have this. You know, you can't wait till you get some major problem and then say, "Hey, let's get out a Bible and look for healing scriptures," and then you can't even find your Bible. You need to have
right.
all of this ahead of time in you, ready to go.
Well, just tell us what happened when you got to the second hospital. We don't have much time, but what happened in the hallway?
So they got me to the next hospital, and they had no rooms, and so they left me in the hallway. And I was just laying there in the hallway. And somebody walked up to me and he asked me my name and I told him, and he just looked at me and he said, "You're not even supposed to be here." And he turned and walked away. I have no idea who that person
made
was.
That makes no sense, right, Al?
But to me, that was God encouraging me, saying, "You know what? You're not supposed to be here. I'm getting you out of here as fast as possible."
That's absolutely right. That was almost like an angel coming and just telling you, because anything, you know, the hospitals can help people. And listen, guys, we just want you to know, we are not down on doctors.
Not at all.
Okay? And we are they not down help. On hospitals. I mean, they save lives every day. Yeah. And here's the difference, though. They're operating in what they learned, and they do it well. But here's the difference. The spiritual can be left out. And it's up to you. You have control over your body. You have control over your circumstances. And you can do all the natural things you want. But if you leave the spiritual part out of this and you don't have faith, you know, then you're not going to have a good outcome.
Yeah, you know, Jesus, if you go through the scripture and you look at what Jesus healed people, about half the people he healed, he just healed them. He just put mud on their eyes or did whatever. And the other half, he cast a demon out of them. So if you're going just to the medical industry to get your healing, the best you can do is 50%, because it might be a demonic problem, particularly if you have some kind of a problem and there's something weird about it, like you have a symptom but you don't test positive for the disease. That's usually spiritual or demonic. If you don't have a symptom but test positive for a disease or something, those are usually spiritual situations. So you would always want to include the spiritual in any healing. It's fine to go to the doctor, it's fine to do all of that, but as I said, the best you're going to do is 50%. If you hit it right, you hit it good, and I'm glad for you. But making sure you get involved with God in the mix is very, very important. And be listening. Try to hear what God has to say.
That's right. And just in closing here, I just want to tell you, he did take a second set of x-rays at the second hospital. And while he was taking those x-rays, the Lord was speaking to me. I was worshiping him. And he was saying to me, he said this, "A miracle is taking place right now." Well, I honestly thought that my husband was going to walk out of that room right on his two feet, just healed and ready to go home. But that didn't happen. But you know, things don't happen overnight sometimes. This was more progressive healing, but it was a miracle progressive healing, if I could say that. I don't know how. It wasn't an overnight thing, but it wasn't a year. And next week, we're going to get into what happened after those second set of x-rays were taken and what actually happened and how God continued to do, you know, like people would say, one mighty miracle after another, to get to the point where it never took 1 year as we was originally diagnosed. It took much, much less. But we just want to encourage you, and we'll keep you hanging a little bit, because we do want you to join us next week the same time so that you can hear of God's goodness. We love you, and we thank you so much for joining us today. Be blessed. Thanks for listening today. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged, knowing that God is a good God and has only good things planned for you, and he's ready and willing to reveal those good things. Acts 10:34 tells us that God is no respecter of persons, so what he has done for one, he will certainly do for you. Why? Because he loves you endlessly. Our phone lines will be opened for the next hour. The number is 772-485-9098. That's 772-485-9098. Our email address is victorylife.aa@gmail.com. And our website is victorylifeministries.org, where you can find testimonies, audio teachings, books by Al and Angie, and upcoming events. Once again, thank you for joining us, and remember, victory is yours through Jesus Christ.
May the name of the God joy.